Saving money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Easily transport mulch, stone, and other materials with the Masterforce heavy-duty steel wheelbarrow. Maneuver over any terrain with a 16-inch tire that never goes flat. Saving money on this and all other Masterforce tools exclusively at Menards. Visit us in-store and at Menards.com and see all the great deals going on now in our weekly flyer. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're broadcasting this morning from the Strand Hotel in Limerick as part of Science Foundation Ireland's Science Summit, with more than 300 delegates taking part. The theme is Working Together, Empowering Ideas. And some of the ideas being explored include the future of Ireland's energy, from nanotechnology, drug delivery, quantum physics and superconductivity. It all sounds very mysterious, but we're going to demystify some of it. I'm joined now by Professor of Biochemistry at University College Dublin, Patricia McGuire, who's been instrumental in developing technologies to help diagnose preeclampsia in pregnant women. That's a condition dangerous for both mother and baby. And Professor McGuire is using very novel and cutting edge techniques in her work. And also with us is Philip Nolan, Director of General of Science Foundation Ireland, to tell us more about the summit. So we'll go to you, first of all, Patricia, and your work. First of all, what is novel? What is cutting edge about what you're doing?
Yes, so preeclampsia occurs in one in every 12 pregnancies, and it can be very serious, Pat, as every 7 minutes an expectant mother dies across the world from preeclampsia, which makes 76,000 women die every year. And the only cure for preeclampsia is delivery of the baby. So 500,000 babies die from preeclampsia, an additional 5 million babies every year are born prematurely with obvious expected complications.
Okay. So what is preeclampsia? I mean, I am now aware that it is a hazardous condition for a mother to have. What is it exactly?
It's a blood pressure condition of pregnancy. As I said, occurs in one in every 12 pregnancies. And it's not very well recognised. Not too many people would actually know about it. And also, the symptoms can be very mild for a woman. And also, the symptoms don't correlate sometimes with the severity of the disease. And so sometimes diagnosis, unfortunately, can be missed for the mother.
So a mother then is giving birth with very high blood pressure, and this is where the hazard comes in.
Yeah, and it's kind of almost a tipping point between the mother and the baby, because the only cure for the mothers is the delivery of the baby, and sometimes that can be very early. So right now, how preeclampsia is diagnosed is the same as it's been for decades. It's high blood pressure and proteinuria. So new diagnostic tests are urgently needed to help clinicians and midwives diagnose the disease and predict when is the right time to deliver that baby.
So when did you have the light bulb moment about your technique?
Yeah, so I'm very interested in looking for new diagnostics, new biomarkers for disease. And about 7 years ago, I had a wonderful coffee with a colleague from the Rotunda Hospital, Professor Fionnuala Nuolja. And together we decided that we would be able to try to uncover new diagnostics for preeclampsia. And we haven't really looked back at this point.
Now, what you're doing is you're using biomarkers. Now, this is not about genetics. It's about something else.
Yeah, it's about understanding what's in our blood that mirrors disease symptoms, if you like. So we're very good at looking in the blood for new diagnostics, and we use a cell in the blood called the platelets to uncover new diagnostics for disease. And platelets are really interesting. So if you cut yourself, they clot your blood, but they do so much more, Pat. They actually, as they circulate round in our blood, they sense the information in real time. And we're really good at capturing that information, getting it out, and finding the list of what's in there.
Now, the biomarker for preeclampsia, you've now found it.
Well, we have uncovered about 30 different new biomarkers in the blood of sick expectant mothers with preeclampsia.
Okay, so which of the 30 is the one, or maybe it's a multiple?
It's a multiple, we think, but that's what the project is at the moment. So about 3 years ago, we came together, so Fionnuala Nonia, myself, and Professor Mary Higgins, who's a consultant obstetrician in the National Maternity Hospital in Hall Street. We all came together as part of the challenge funding to try and see which one of those biomarkers was the right one to help predict preeclampsia.
Now, when you say predict preeclampsia, would these markers only be visible when a woman is pregnant? Or could a woman have these markers and they would be an indicator that in pregnancy, she might be the one to develop preeclampsia, the one in 12?
That's what we hope. So we've looked at the blood of healthy people, we've looked at the blood of healthy expectant mums, and we've also looked at the blood of sick expectant mums. And we've looked and compared them all, and we've picked out the biomarkers that can separate them. But the really interesting thing is, and how we're using is machine learning and artificial intelligence, is we're combining that novel biomarker information with all the information that's available on that sick expectant mother. So we're combining her demographics, her blood tests that she would get in the hospital, and all of her clinical information together using machine learning and artificial intelligence, and bringing that all together to deliver information at the right time.
So it could be that when a couple are planning a family, for example, that the mother might routinely have a blood test to determine whether or not she is potentially going to have preeclampsia. And that would be the ideal situation, because then she'd be monitored from day one.
So at the moment, our test is when the mother actually develops the preeclampsia. And this is usually after 20 weeks of pregnancy. I mean, the absolute ideal would be to have exactly what you describe, something early on in pregnancy. And we've also got another project, almost a side project, that's come out of the Challenge Fund to do that. So it's incredible what this challenge funding has done. It's created so much adjacent possibilities for us as a team. So we're also working on a first trimester test exactly as you described.
Now, is there a treatment for preeclampsia? If it's a blood pressure treatment, you know, there are blood pressure pills out there. Can you use those with pregnant women, or is that a no-no?
So I'm a scientist, I'm not a clinician, but my colleagues who work across the three Dublin maternity hospitals would use blood pressure medication. But sometimes they don't work as well, and sometimes women still get very, very sick. And as I said, a lot of women die and a lot of babies die from this.
Now, you're working on this particular condition, preeclampsia, but the glimmer in your eye suggests that this might be applicable to many, many conditions.
Well, we hope so. I mean, I'm a biomedical scientist, I'm a biochemist, and I'm really good at finding out information in blood. That's what our team has done for 20 years. So we do really hope that we can, obviously, our mission of our whole team is to get this test to every person who needs it across the world, but we really hope that we can apply the knowledge and the technology to many other different diseases that are in the blood, like multiple sclerosis, like cardiovascular disease, maybe even cancer.
Wow, that's the kind of exciting stuff that science can generate. Patricia, thank you very much for joining us. Patricia McGuire, Professor of Biochemistry at University College Dublin. Now, Philip Nolan is smiling at this because you helped, or the SFI helped to fund this endeavour.
Yeah, it's work that we're really deeply proud of, and you finished that interview with the simple expression, wow. And that's what we feel, both as scientists and as funders, when you invest your energy and your money in a project and see it not only bear the immediate fruit it's born. I mean, it's we have to emphasize the importance of early detection of preeclampsia, first of all. Even if it's a question of weeks earlier than it might have sure. been in the past, that gives huge advantage to the mother and to the baby in terms of their potential survival. And equally then, the possibility that this... Nobody knows the possibilities that this kind of work generates. You can see the immediate possibility, but there are so many other things that may unfold down the line. I mean, this is a paradigm shift in how clinical medicine operates. You again use the word yourself, which is the one biomarker. So for a century, we've been used to doing blood tests and looking for one thing mm-hmm. that will point to one disease. Now we're using much more advanced techniques in terms of artificial intelligence and machine learning to say, well, what about the patterns? Let's look at 10, 15, 20 variables.
Because you find a biomarker for a condition and maybe a third of the people actually will develop the condition and two thirds won't. And you're wondering, how did the other two thirds get a free pass on this one?
Exactly.
And the answer is they didn't have some of the other biomarkers.
Exactly. So this is much more subtle, and it also allows medicine in the future for other conditions to be more personalized. There may be different treatments for different cohorts of people based on these subtle patterns. So this is what we're about at the Science Summit. I mean, we have 876 active awards, of which Professor McGuire's is one. That's supporting thousands of scientists, 2,500 PhD students, and we have 600 of them attending this conference, 300 in person, 300 online. And fundamentally what we're going to do is talk science. And that's not trivial and it's not a pastime because, again, Professor McGuire talked about the root of her project, the root of that work being a discussion over coffee between two between a scientist and a clinician scientist from somewhat different fields out of which hatched this wonderful work. So talking science is serious business. We compare results and we inspire new ideas from that and look to the future.
And the dilemma when you're trying to allocate funding is obviously let's fund something that has an immediate practical outcome we're looking for. In this case, you can see it. You can see why you'd spend money trying to early detect preeclampsia. But then there are other things, you know, and this is only a joke, but put a man on the moon and you get the Teflon frying pan and the silicon chip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fundamental research can often lead to things maybe decades down the road, but it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for fundamental, non-practical research.
Absolutely. And it's not a dilemma. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Any country or any region like the European Union that wants to be successful in the long term in solving environmental problems, social problems, economic problems, human health problems, needs to simultaneously invest in the fundamental work where we don't know what benefits it's going to yield. So we'd be talking about nanotechnology, we'd be talking about quantum physics, we'd be talking about astrophysics, we'd be talking about very fundamental concepts in human biology. We need to invest in those for two reasons. One, what we find, but two, the talent it generates. Really talented people want to work at the frontiers. So we get two benefits from fundamental research: new knowledge and really vibrant talent. And with that basis, with that foundation, we can then do challenge work focused on a specific problem, like Professor McGuire's work focused on preeclampsia. We can say, here's the challenge. We're going to give you €1 million or €2 million to focus specifically on that, but you must bring a multidisciplinary team together. But you'll only have that team if we've also invested in the geneticist and the clinician and the data scientist to do the fundamental work, to train in the fundamental work and do the fundamental work to equip us to focus on the applied work.
It'll be an exciting couple of days here at the Strand Hotel, 300 delegates here and then a couple of hundred more online. Philip Nolan, who's Director General of Science Foundation Ireland, thank you. And before that, Professor Patricia McGuire, thank you also.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Say big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save